You know, one day Adam was walking through the garden with God. And Adam looked at God and said, God, I am lonely. And God said, you know what? I'm going to make you a helpmate. And her title is going to be woman. And she's going to wake up before you in the morning and make you breakfast. Some mornings she's going to serve you in bed. She's going to say, what would you like today, honey? And make exactly what you want. She's going to, all through the day, take care of you until you put your head on the pillow at night. She will never complain. She will never talk back. She will always be the love of your life. And Adam said, whoa, man. God, how much is that going to cost me? And God said, that's going to cost you an arm and a leg. Adam said, what can I get for a rib? And the rest is history. You notice I can get away with those jokes when Gwen is in the children's ministry. All right. We love you ladies very much. And if it wasn't for you, let me tell you, we wouldn't know half of the time what time it is in the daytime. And you remind us all the time of the goodness of the things that we do have. Now, this morning, I'm going to be talking about the third part of our series that we've been talking about, and it's listening. And how the first week we brought out the fact that it is important for us as believers that we're on the journey together to be able to have the encouragement of others in our life, to listen to those people that are in covenant with God along with us. It helps us in our journey. The second week last week we talked about hearing the voice of wisdom. And we just kind of had a joke there on ladies, but matter of fact, Solomon used the voice of wisdom in Proverbs as a lady's voice, you know, isn't that something? And how she cries into the street, you know, how long will you be simple? We talked about that last week and how important it is that wisdom speaks to us. Are we listening? This week we're going to talk about hearing similar to wisdom, because it is wisdom, but the voice of God in our lives. You know, as believers, we're not built and we're not designed and we do not have a purpose to blend into a crowd of people. Let me say that again. We're not built, in other words, God did not predestine from the foundations of the earth for us to do good works in order for us to be like even people that do not believe in him. Sometimes we buy into the fact that we don't want to be different as Christians, and we don't want to stand out. We went through that whole thing about being the high poppy, you know, where we got to bring everybody down to average. But as Christians, as believers, realize that the early church was noticeably different than everybody else, even to their having to be led to being a martyr. But in our time, if we're not careful, we begin to blend in with everybody else, and you can't even tell the difference between someone that's given their life to God and somebody that hasn't. But let me go another step further, that I believe that as Christians, as children of God, that we have the ability to tap into not walking in fear, doubt, and unbelief. And what does that mean? There's a lot of people that are motivated just by the fear of what could happen. But when you overcome that, there's more than just not being fearful. But there's more to it than that. And it is being aggressive instead of just playing defensive. And what I mean by that is you're looking and longing and expecting God to show up in your life. That's a whole other way of looking at it. There's some people that only look for the storms that come into their life, and then there's other people that chase the storm. Can I get an amen? That's us. So watch this. Today we're going to be looking at verses and passages, and I'm going to communicate to you to listening to God's voice puts us in a whole nother level. There's a prophet in the Old Testament. His name was Elisha. And through the Old Testament, you get to the New Testament. And the New Testament, the covenant believers that you and I are, because Jesus died on the cross, and because he died on the cross for our sins, that if we receive what he did for us, that our sins can be forgiven, that we're coming into covenant with him. But listen, in the New Testament, it says that people like Elijah and those prophets were people just like us. That's even if you're here today and you're 12 and you graduated up from the children's ministry and you go, well, you know, I'm just 12. Or maybe you've just come to know God and you've only been a Christian for maybe a couple weeks. God says that just what you think is ordinary or natural, everybody else is just not, that he'll put his super on your natural and you'll be able to see and do things, listen, that are crazy. What I mean by crazy is people look at us, people of faith, and go, really? How did you know that? That's what happened to the disciples. After the resurrection and ascension of Jesus Christ, they brought them in and they were, you know, verbally jousting with them. And all, and the disciples went toe-to-toe until they finally realized, these guys had been with Jesus. Now back on Elisha. Elisha had this kind of supernatural power. And one of them was this. As a prophet, he would hear the voice of God speaking to him because the enemy over Israel would be setting up to ambush the Israelite army. And Elisha would tell the king, hey, they're going to be over there. I-35 and Golden Triangle, be careful. And every time, God would make a way where there seems to be no way, and the Israelite army would escape that. To the point where the king of the enemy said, hey, who is the turncoat? Who is the person telling the enemy where we're going to be? And somebody in his army says, he knows everything because of God is telling him. So watch this. Elisha had a power, and the power was this, simply that he could hear the voice of God speaking. Later on into his life, that enemy gets so mad at Elisha for doing that, they send a whole army against him that's camped outside the city ready to come in and take him. You remember the story. The servant of Elisha goes out one day and says, oh, good golly, Miss Molly, look at all that enemy against us. Elisha comes out, he sees and he prays, God, open his eyes like you've opened my eyes. And his eyes are opened and he sees the army of God that is greater surrounding the enemy's army. That's what I'm asking you today, to begin to start looking, longing, and expecting God to show up in your life. Why? Because then you can hear the voice of God versus going through your life as believers, as children. I'm a child of God. Anything? No, don't say anything, do anything. I don't know why. I just carry that title. Why? Pastor John said, I'm a child of God. Hearing the voice of our God puts us again in another level. This today can be something that you can say, I knew that. What I want you to say is, I do that. See, today you might be here and you might say, you know, I'm having a problem through my life. Been a Christian a long time. I don't know if actually God speaks to people anymore. And that's okay, because we've all had those doubts, especially when he didn't speak what we wanted him to speak. Sometimes it seems slow in showing up. We sang that song, Why Would We Be Surprised? He shows up just in time. I want you to think about it, even if you're here today and you say, you know, I don't know if I've actually put my faith in God. I don't know if I'm a follower of God. I just don't know if God speaks to mankind anymore. Well, first of all, let me just give you some things that we know that he speaks. He speaks in nature. You know, it doesn't take long. If you've ever gone to the Grand Canyon or the Rocky Mountains and you look over those mountains, you go, there's no way that's just a coincidence. Matter of fact, the Bible says it this way. The heavens declare the glory of God. The skies proclaim the work of his hands. When you look at all those things on earth and how the grass grows and the seasons and all that, you go, are you kidding me? People don't believe in God? But then you get outside of just our little world and you realize how real little the earth is compared to all the planets that are out there in the universe. God speaks through nature, the universe. He also speaks through people, and in the Old Testament, we just talked about that. Last week, we talked about he speaks in his wisdom and the principles of how things work, and sometimes we don't have to understand how a plane works and the law of lift, but we get in the plane, and we just have faith that it's going to work. You don't have to figure it out, do you? I know that every time I can, I put my hand on the plane. You know, right as you go in and the stewardess says, what seat are you in? I don't really care at that point what seat. I got to put my hand on the plane. God, one more time, God. Let it make it to its destination. I don't have to understand it, but the wisdom of God has put things into place that he speaks through that. God speaks even in our, I believe, in our conscience of what is right and wrong. Have you ever realized just sometimes the things that in our conscience that God speaks to us? Sometimes it sounds our conscience like our wives. Sometimes our conscience sounds like our mother. But through the wisdom of God, he speaks in our conscience. But this morning I want you to listen at my message as I teach and preach on how God speaks through Scripture and through the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit in Isaiah 30, verse 21, it says, there's a day coming, people, and the day is here. When it says, whether you turn to the right or to the left, your ears will hear a voice behind you saying, this is the way, walk in it. The gentle prompting of the Holy Spirit to guide us through life. There's a voice that speaks to us when we're in covenant with God that directs our life versus the person that has no idea about God or the person that does know but just says, I'm not going to follow the things of God. The Holy Spirit's voice. You know, as I said during worship today, The message today, if you can get this, the challenge is not getting God to speak to us as much as it is for us getting in the position to listen to him, to avoiding distractions. Last week we talked about so many times, you've seen people, I've done it before, once, when I put on these beats and I'm singing like I'm Lisa Cruz. News to me and you, I was not that good. But boy, inside of this song, the louder I turned up the music, the better I sounded. And boy, I just don't wait until the person next to me had that look on their face like, oh my goodness, would you please quit that? I'm not going to tell you her name, but her initials are Brooke Miller, my daughter. It's avoiding the distractions. As I've told you before, whatever gets our attention, hey, whatever gets your attention determines your direction, and your direction over time will lead to your destination. See, the voice of the Holy Spirit, God's voice is speaking to us, but sometimes all the distractions and our attention deficit, so to speak, gets it, and it our direction is determined by it. I want you to see a video today, kind of funny. Maybe you can relate to this. Push the start button. No bueno? No. It was a good video. I paid $18 for that video. We'll see it another time. On several occasions in the scripture, Jesus taught about the distractions in our life. And this was 2,000 some years ago, they had distractions. And I believe that in our day, we even have more distractions. Can anybody agree with me on that? Anybody over the age of 45 in here today that remembers that your biggest distraction at home was usually a phone ringing that was connected to the wall? I remember my mother taking the phone off of the hook, and wow. Do you remember when cell phones came out and a lot of us that are older said, I don't even want one? Why was it? Because we didn't want somebody to have tabs on us every day and every hour of every day. But we have become so distracted in our world that sometimes we don't realize that the Holy Spirit is speaking the very voice that's going to change our life and give us new life and new direction to put us above what everybody else in the world that don't believe, but we are distracted away from what is important. Jesus said it this way, whoever has ears to hear, let him hear. You read that the first time when you're, you know, coming to Christ and you're reading the Bible and you go, what in the world does he mean? Of course, everybody had ears to hear. But what he was saying is, if you have ears, listen, because what's coming is very important. When I have spoken, what's going to determine if you hear or not is if you're positioning yourself to hear. My teaching, Jesus is saying, is only for those that receive it. See, Jesus is going to quote Ezekiel chapter 12, verse 2. In Ezekiel's time, it says this, son of man, you're living among a rebellious people. They have eyes to see, but do not see, and ears to hear, but they do not hear, for they are a rebellious people. Now listen to me today. This message isn't to say, you are not listening to God with a W. God, you bunch of no. Listen, a rebellious person is not a person that sometimes what we see is a little kid that's going to sneak out at night. Sometimes a rebellious person is just somebody that doesn't want to hear the truth. It happens in our own relationships with our husbands, or our wives, our bosses, friends, in our relationship. I know your opinion, but I am going to agree to disagree that is not my opinion. This is what's happening. Jesus shows up on the scene, and he's the Messiah. And people that could not get their, nope. You can say that, but I'm not going to believe it. That's why a lot of times you'll see a person never being able to connect with God until what we say, they hit rock bottom. Because what was dead in the scripture all of a sudden becomes alive to them, because now with a humble heart they begin to receive things that they never saw before. You could say when you're in a state of rebellion, we hear, but really we don't hear what's being said. This is something, again, for us to all, everyone here. I don't care if you're a person that's been in the church for 50, 60, 70, 100, 2,000 years. We still have to realize that there's times in our life where we think that we already know the truth. Because you know when you're in a company, that somebody sends a memo that says, here's a policy change. Hear me. That you get that policy change in your company and now you're doing it a new way. But you realize that memo might not come to you for 6 months, and you get that memo and you start doing it. You still could be wrong, because now there's a new day and a new policy change that you didn't know. That's why as Christians, we're always listening. We're always saying, God, what is it in my life? Because our lives are always changing. To be in a state of rebellion is just a state that says, I'm not listening. I want you to see a passage of scripture that I've seen a lot of times and I've read it. It's one of my favorite passages because it centers me on listening to God. And it's found in Mark chapter 4. I want you to look at it with me, and we're going to skip down right to verse 9. And this is one of those passages when Jesus says, whoever has ears to hear, let him hear. Now, Jesus is teaching, and a lot of times he taught something that the people would later say, how does he do that? How does he teach with such authority? Because they had not made him Lord of their life yet. They did not recognize him as a Messiah. And Jesus tells a story about a farmer that goes out and he sows seed. And some fall on the path, some fall among thorns and rocky places, and some of the seed that he's just throwing out falls on good soil. And the people there are confused. And again, this is before the Holy Spirit comes on the earth after Jesus leaves the ascension, goes to the Father. And if you want further research, research Acts chapter 1, 2, and 3 there. And Jesus is teaching, and the people that are listening to this sermon in this parable about a story about a farmer that's planting seed, they're just like, I don't get it. Now, later the disciples get him and go, hey, tell us really what that meant. Now listen to what he says to these guys that are going to change the world. Realize they're just like you and me. I mean, just because Peter has a church in, you know, Rome that's got gold on it, at this time he's nothing more than you and me, and sometimes not as good at this point as you and I, because we have more knowledge and revelation than he did. I want you to look at verse 10. It says this, when he was alone, the 12 and the others around him asked about the parable. He told them, the secret of the kingdom of God has been given to you, but to those on the outside, everything is said in parables. Okay? So it was given to them. They didn't understand it this time. So that they may be ever seeing but never perceiving and ever hearing but never understanding. Otherwise, they might turn and be forgiven. Now, here's the thing, is they are the people that were in rebellion, never really able to receive, would never understand the meaning of what he was saying. He's saying if they could, the day comes, it's their choice if they're going to repent. The secret of the kingdom of God has been given to you. The secret of the kingdom of God has been given to you. Just think about that for a minute. You know a secret. The secret of the kingdom of God has been given to you. In the Amplified version, it says the mystery of the kingdom has been given to you, you who have a teachable heart. It goes on to say in the Amplified, those outside of our circle, the people that are not believers, everything becomes a parable. See, a lot of times, believers even, that have made a commitment to make him savior of their life, they're going to heaven, they have never allowed him to be Lord of their life, therefore they go, you know, I just don't get it. He don't speak to me. This morning, I want you to see something. He is speaking. He's speaking to us. But are we in a position to hear what he's saying? In verse 13, it continues. He continues. And it says, then Jesus said to them, don't you understand this parable? How then will you understand any parables? The farmer sows the word. That's the word of God. That's scripture. He sows the word. Now, you can go deep here, and you that have studied Scripture knows the Word is actually Jesus. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with Christ. The Word was with God, and the Word was Christ. So listen, Jesus is the Word. Later it'll say God sent His Son, His Word, into the world to heal of our diseases. But the Word is what the parable is talking about. The sower is sowing the Word, the Bible. Now, the Word of God in the Bible also says that the Bible, the Word, is incorruptible seed. In other words, it produces every time. But just in a few seconds, we'll see how much it's going to produce in your life. Depends on you. Responsibility for each one of us. Have you ever planted a garden? As a little boy, I was a radish farmer. At about 7 years old, my mother gave me one of those little packs. You can do a garden. Me? I went outside by the house, right where the rain drops, you know, and makes a rut. And I planted my little radish seeds, and I planted a couple outside of the rut. Some of them came up because of the soil was so hard, and the rain coming off the roof pounded some of them. But boy, was that radish good that made it. Can you feel me? Do you know what I'm talking about? The produce, something of the seed produced something that I was looking for. Okay. The farmer, in verse 14, sows the word. Some people are like the seed along the path where the word is sown, and as soon as they hear it, all these are going to have a common thread, the people hear. What are we talking about today? Listening to the voice of God. The word is sown. As soon as they hear it, Satan comes and takes away the word that was sown in them. Okay, let's look at the other. Verse 16, others like seeds sown among rocky places. They hear the word of God and once receive it with joy. But since they don't have any root, they last only a short time, and when trouble and persecution comes because of the word, they quickly fall away. I've taught on this many times. When you get a word from God, you're going to get a test to prove if you believe the word. Persecution comes. It just didn't work in my life. I quit. That's what a lot of them are saying in this. In verse 18, it says, still others are like seeds sown among thorns. Again, they hear the word, but listen, look at all these distractions. They hear the word, but the worries of this life. Allow the Holy Spirit to speak to you. What is the worries that are the voice, you know, back here that you're hearing? The worries of this life. Maybe it's a relationship. Maybe it's a health problem. The worries of this life, the deceitfulness of wealth. A lot of times the deceitfulness of wealth, again, wealth is immoral. It's what is done to wealth, or what the desire of continuing pursuing wealth. That's why we're blessed to be a blessing, because then we realize that we're not owners of the wealth. The wealth isn't going to control us. That we're blessed to be a blessing. Deceitfulness of wealth, have a destination disease. You know what that is? If I was only over there, I'd be more happy. Destination. If I was in that, if I was married to her, if I wasn't married to him, if I was somewhere where I'm not now, I'd be happier. The deceitfulness of wealth and the desire for other things, just kind of the blank thing right there, boom. Fill in the blank. The desire for other things. Come in and choke the word, making it unfruitful. See, God's speaking the word, but why isn't it fruitful? Because of these distractions that are choking it out. But then, listen, this isn't a negative mission. This is where we're going, verse 20. I'm going somewhere. God's making me. Listen to verse 20. Others are like seed, I could say this. People at the chapel are like the seed sown on good soil. They hear the word, they accept it, and produce a crop, some 30, 60, and some 100 times what is sown. How many people are up for the 100? If you didn't raise your hand, you're getting the 30. I'm kidding. A 100 times what was sown. 100 times? Are you kidding me? The scripture gives us the ability to know the voice of God when he speaks to us. Listen to me. If you don't know the word of God, chances are you won't understand. You will not hear the voice of God speaking to you because you will not recognize the voice of God. I've heard people say this all my life. Well, I think God was speaking. They want to do, you know, the little bit of the hokey pokey. 1 foot in, 1 foot out, you shake it all about. That's what it's all about. I hope the hokey pokey isn't what it's all about. Being confident and knowing the word of God, when the voice of the Holy Spirit speaks to us, we recognize it. We're not even talking about speaking in tongues and praying for the interpretation. We'll get to that later. But we're just talking about learning the word of God. In order for us to be able to hear the voice of the Holy Spirit when the Holy Spirit confirms in our heart what he's saying. Giving us that super on our natural to do the things that we're called to do in our purpose in life. Do you know that Jesus even confirms this when he taught on prayer? This is a whole nother, not just allowing the word of God to be able to bear fruit in our life, but things like in Matthew 6, 9 and 10. This is then is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. See, that right there, a lot of times people go, amen. But when it comes to things like healing, whoa, I don't know if that's for us. Do you think it's his will in heaven for people to walk around sick? No. Well, let me say it again. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. See, when you get revelation like that, all of a sudden you begin to listen. You began to see things and expect and look and long, as Isaiah 30 says, for God to show up on the scene. You're not intimidated when somebody comes in and they're hurt. Can I pray with you about that? You're hearing the voice of the Holy Spirit. It takes the intimidation off your back. It takes the uncertainty. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Again, if I could encourage you today, when you go to God in prayer, to realize it's a relationship. Don't make it into something that is spooky, pooky. You know what I mean? But you got to have, as you go into this dark closet. Somebody come up with this closet mindset where you go into the closet. The closet means a secret place. It can be a bedroom. It could be in the sanctuary. It doesn't have to be in a 4x3 closet with shoes that you got to step around. Everybody with me on this? And when you get in a place where you're praying, the position is not God. I can't. It's getting ourselves in the position to hear what he's saying. And it's in a position that starts with an attitude of thy will be done. Again, when you go to prayer, here's how God begins. By centering us on who he is, and then next, who we are in relationship to him. See, finding that place is half of what we need to hear anyway. Finding our place answers most of our questions, and we can't hear because we begin the conversation as the center of the conversation. We become the center. If we're not careful, listen, we begin to pray the problem. We begin to say, God, you know the problem. God, and God says, I didn't say that over you. Who are you listening to? Who's framing your thinking? You're quoting the words of the enemy. I didn't say that. What did I say? Well, if you say, I don't know, there's the problem. But if you say, well, you said that you never leave me nor forsake me. What else did I say? Well, you said, greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. And as you begin to hear your mouth speak the word of God over your life, all of a sudden something starts to rise up in you. For me, I get a little choked. I almost want to cry when I begin to think of the goodness of God. And when he has spoken to me in a situation, in a time of privacy, but then it's played out in the real world. One little illustration, and I could tell you 10 of these. But one little illustration is the time that we're building Axiom Coffee down there. Realize, I'm not a poser. I have no idea how to build buildings and do things. But with God, I can do all things. So I'm working on that. And more, I don't know how to plug in a hammer, let alone do it, you know? So what I do is I'm the phone jockey. I'm calling the framer and saying, you're up. And then I call the sheetrock guy, you're up. So I got tired of that. So now I go, Luke, you're up. Do it all. And so he knows how to do it. But here's what the deal is I'm going through the city. And if you've ever worked with the city, the municipality where you're building, a lot of times, not always, but that's where the push is. That's where it's just not easy. And some of you remember this story. And as I'm building Axiom, we believe that our young adults, Axiom Young Adults is going to meet in there, and I call the transportation department before it, and they go, you're a church. I said, now we're going to sell coffee. They, well, yeah, but we know you're a church, and it's going to cost you for those two buildings $1,200 a piece. Everybody follow me. $1,200 a piece for the impact on the road. I said, wow. I said, well, if we didn't have church in it, what would it cost? And they did some figures and they'd say around $21,000. For both of them? No, each. What? So I said, yes, we're a church. It doesn't take long for me to figure it out. Yes, I want to pay $1,200 instead of, you know, roughly $40,000. So that's a transportation department. Everything on the list has been checked off, all the departments except the general, the number one office of development of the property. This is the head of the head that you got to get it through. So we took it, I took it. I wish we had a we back then, but I took it to the city. And if you've ever been in the city, you got to check in, you got to sit down. John Miller. That's me. So I take the approach to the office, and I sit there, and the lady says, you're going to have to pay because you're a coffee shop. So our payment of all, now we have $1 million loan on the property. It's going to increase, though, to $40,000 versus $2,400. And I told the lady, I said, we got this approved before we even started. And she looked at me, and she said, no, that was the transportation department. You don't know where you're at. We're the development. I said, well, that's a deal breaker. We can't come up with another $40,000 roughly dollars. And she said, well, you can talk to my boss. Now, John Miller could have said, no, I don't. And then I would have got back to my prayer time and said, God, where are you? What did you do to me, God? You're killing me. Now, why could I say that? Because I've been there. Super spiritual faith, man. Yeah, I'll just be transparent with you. But something rose up on me because I built this building and did that. And I've told that story, but I'm not going to tell it today. But when I'm down there, something rose up on the inside of me and said, I want to talk to your boss. So they brought in the boss. And the boss said, Pastor, you're going to have to do, you're going to have to pay that much. My civil engineer said, John, you're going to pay that I said, they told me we were a church. I'm not trying to skirt anything, do anything, but we're... The boss said, no. So I said, I did everything that you guys told me to do. Now you're changing it at the last minute. They looked at each other like they were going to ask to do a suicide mission. They said, well, the only option is that you could talk to the boss. And it's like the organ music. Dun, 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 dun. And I thought, who is the boss? And the other one looked at the other one and said, is she in? Yeah, I think so. It was a little hallway, just like it's in a movie. And you had to take a right angle to go into her office. The lady that started this argument, she's in front and she's looking back like, I guess I got to go in there. And I'm seeing her turn and look in the office and go, oh, it's Artie, sorry. Now, this lady didn't have any confidence problem up to this moment. But when she looks in that office and sees whoever's in that office, she crumbles. So I'm thinking, oh, no. I got to go in there. Now, listen. Remember Elisha? Remember? Where he's telling where the enemy's coming, or he knows things that the enemy doesn't even know. Then later he's praying that God would open up the eyes, not of him, because he's already seeing God's army. He's praying that his servant's eyes, come on. But I'm in a place where I go, I don't know what's in that office, but God told me to do this. So what happens is finally the lady in the office gets off the phone and they, okay, let's go. I mean, we're like, okay, let's all go in as a procession. We go in. And boom, I'm looking at a person. And the Holy Spirit does it to me. That quick, he says, I got this. Hearing the Holy Spirit and being obedient will again give you confidence, because it's just like David. I defeated the bear. I defeated the lion. Now I can go against Goliath. The confidence is listening and watching how God's faithfulness plays out in your life. When I see this lady, her name is Allison. And Allison, I repeat in my mind almost 20 years earlier when I'm building this building. We don't have any money. We're so far above our head. When we do the survey to be able to build this building, the survey of the property, we don't have enough money to pay a surveyor to take it to the city. He said, I will do the plans, you take it to the city. So I'm taking it to the city, and when I get there, I realize that this plan that looks, you know, one of those blueprints, it's got to be folded a certain way. Like it at the end, it's like 6 to 7 folds that look like a paper football. And the person that comes and talks to me is a young intern that just started as a clerk across the desk, helps me fold about 15 of these. It takes both of us probably about 30 minutes to fold. That young intern, new clerk, her name was Allison. Almost 20 years later, she has gone through the ranks until now she's over all of development. We go in that office and the Holy Spirit says, favor is on the chapel today. And she says, hello. And I said, do you remember me, Allison? I was that pastor that you, when you were back there at the clerk and you're starting out. She goes, I remember. And she did the smile. I remember. And then she looks at her two employees and goes, what does he want? And And from that moment on, they said, well, he's a church and he's wanting to build a coffee shop. And the lady says, but he's a business. He's got a drive-through. And she says, well, what do you want, Pastor? I want to pay the $1,200 a month that transportation is, and I want you to agree to it. She goes, here's what you do. You take your kitchen and you reduce it. I mean, it was like another 200 feet that we took off of the kitchen. And she said, that'll be enough. And her employee said, but he has a drive-thru. I said that would be enough. And all of a sudden, man, listening to the Holy Spirit speak in your life. People that say it's boring to be a Christian, or, you know, Christians, they it's just a crutch for them to make it through, to believe in something, some supernatural power, some, you know, intelligent design. Come on now. If they would see what we see, if they could hear the voice of God speaking into their, but all they can hear is parables, because they have not put their faith in who we have put our faith in, and that is our God. The issue is not getting God to speak. It's putting you in a position to listen. Now let me say this, because I'm about ready to conclude. About ready. There's things that we can do. You know, when we fast and we do not eat for a certain amount of times, as a young child, I would think that I was doing that in order to get God to love me enough to listen to me, or to give me an answer to a problem that I was facing. If I would sacrifice enough, the first time that I missed one meal as a child, I thought, boy, God's going to give me everything I want, because it was so hard. Until I realized we do not fast to get God's attention. We already have his attention. Why we fast and why we humble ourselves and start with an attitude of prayer that thy kingdom come, thy will be done. Thy will be done in my life. We start because God's already speaking. It positions us. And when we fast, we do the same thing. Why? Because all of a sudden, all those distractions that we have in our life begin to melt away. Most of us will not have a problem of eating this afternoon. The problem is, where are we going to eat? But let me tell you, when you fast, all of a sudden that little problem doesn't matter anymore, does it? Because those little baby carrots even look good when you fast. You start thinking, oh God, you have provided for me, and I have taken for granted so many things in my life. And all of a sudden that humbleness comes back in our life. So let me sum it up with just some quick things. Number one, remember that God wants us to surrender, and surrender hearts are listening. God doesn't speak for our consideration. He speaks for our submission. Getting to the place of thy will be done is the necessity to begin. And as we turn our ears to the direction to hear him, we're going to hear what he's speaking. Can I just ask you, if you're in a place, and only you know, but if you're in a place where you're clinging to something that is so valuable, is it worth missing what God is saying in your life? So this morning, I want you to just as a picture, take off the headphones that are distracting you, the voices that you're listening to that's saying, over here, over here. And maybe in the past, you have turned your direction towards those voices. But maybe in the next few hours, maybe in the next few days, you'll just get alone with God. And in a positioning posture, you're saying, God, thy will be done. God, in my life, I want to quiet down I want to just stay right here and I want to listen. Do you know that I left this out, but just by mistake, you can pray the scriptures. By reading a passage of scripture, a promise over that the word of God puts over our lives, you can say, God, I receive that in my life today. Well, Pastor, I don't feel like it. If I say thy will be done, it's like giving God a blank check and I don't know. Exactly. Thy will be done, God. Let's pray. Father, we take off the headphones, the distractions. And God, they're not just noise canceling, but God, they're your voice, God's voice that is canceled out. And Father, we want to focus on just hearing you speak in our life. God, you give us wisdom, you give us direction. And Father, then as we turn in the direction to hear your voice, it determines our destiny. Father, we begin to look better than we are, but Father, more than that, that the world sees people that are obedient, but God, people that are hearing and doing your will. Father, they see supernatural things take place in our life, not just for our gain, but God, also for the good of God, the people that are around us. The God that we can reach out, we can love others because God, we love ourselves. Because, Father, we know that you're with us. Because, God, we've experienced your voice. We've experienced then being obedient to your voice. And God, the result of that has always added to us 30, 60, even 100-fold. And, Father, that's what we receive today in our life as believers, as your children, that we can hear our Father's voice. And it's so good. Now, Father, I pray for the people that are here today that are so close to me, friends and family. God, and I just pray for each one of them. God, you know that I want the best in their life. I want them to look the sharpest, the best looking people. God, the ones that are financially blessed, the ones that are the most healthy. And God, as you begin to speak your wisdom into our lives, God, you give us that wisdom to be able to do things that others aren't able to do. Not because, God, of who we are, it's because of who you are in our lives. Father, that's what I pray over my church today. In your wonderful name I pray. Amen. Amen. Would you stand with me? This morning, realize that even as we listen, then the Bible says that we can look long and expect for God to show up in our life. Do you realize there's people out there with no hope? And one time a year that they're more receptive than any others, this is what statistics tell us, is next week. I kind of want to put a sign out that says, you know, in January, repent now and, you know, avoid the Easter rush. But people will only come. It's almost like Super Bowl Sunday for some people. And we're glad for that they'll come even one week. But invite somebody and believe that. As evangelism team goes out, they'll invite people that will come. But maybe the people that you're around, you go, Pastor, I work in a dark area. Hallelujah that God put you as the light in that dark world. And so this week is a chance to get somebody else lit up. They can come. I guarantee you that I'll have a message that will be, again, a message of salvation, but a message that will explain why Jesus had to die, why he had to be resurrected. That's all I'm saying about that. I want you to invite somebody, and then we'll see each other next week and celebrate Resurrection Sunday. You're dismissed. Go have a great day.